This morning's scripture comes from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18, beginning at verse 21. Then Peter came and said to Jesus, "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "Not seven times, but I tell you 77 times. For this reason," Jesus says, "the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began to reckon, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, his Lord ordered him to be sold together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the Lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him by the throat, he said, 'Pay me what you owe.' Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.' But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed. And they went and reported to their Lord all that had taken place. Then his Lord summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?' And in anger, his Lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you, if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart." This ends the reading for this day. May God add his blessing to it. Let us pray together. Lord, your instruction and expectation that we forgive others is one of the most challenging parts of being a follower of Jesus. Even the Apostle Peter, often thought to be the leader of the pack, the leader of the disciples, struggled with that, as we see in today's scripture. And then the parable that Jesus teaches, that we need to be conscious of the wonderful forgiveness that we have received and reciprocate that and forgive others. The Lord, it's challenging for us. So we pray today that our hearts and our minds will be open to receive a word from you that will help us in our daily living. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Each Sunday we pray the words, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors," which is another way of saying, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us." Matthew's Gospel records that immediately after Jesus teaching his followers to pray this way, he said, "If you forgive others the wrongs they have done to you, your Father in heaven will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive the wrongs that you have done." I once heard a conversation in which two individuals, one who had been assaulted and raped, and the other, who had been wrongly accused and convicted of a crime, discussed the power of forgiveness in their lives. Both spoke of the horrible circumstances that brought them together that almost destroyed their lives. Both of them spoke of sleepless nights, anger, fear, depression, and shame. But each also spoke of the beauty and the goodness that they had found in being able to forgive. They talked about what it meant to not be defined by their pasts, to be set free from a burden that they had not chosen, and how life-giving the practice of forgiveness had been for them. Today's scripture lesson from Matthew chapter 18 moves us to consider one of the most difficult practices of Christian discipleship, that of forgiveness. Forgiveness is a challenging road to walk, but it is the way to life and life abundant. Forgiveness is the way of Jesus, the way of his cross. While at first glance, revenge may seem easier and more desirable, in fact, revenge leads to bondage and death. From the cross, the place of death, vengeance, and coercive violence, Jesus spoke words of forgiveness, pointing to the way that leads to life. At the heart of discipleship lies the painful and challenging practice of forgiveness. The gospel writer Matthew tells us the apostle Peter came and said to Jesus, "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive?" And he thought he was being really great when he said 7 times. But Jesus says, not 7 times, but I tell you 77 times. Or some translations have 7 times, 70 times, 7 times. Whatever the number, Jesus gives clear instructions about the importance of forgiveness as a way of life in God's kingdom. Perhaps sensing that Peter hasn't quite gotten the point, Jesus tells a story, a parable, which we read today. For in this parable, Jesus deftly illustrates our propensity to seek vengeance, to demand a righting of the scales of justice in a manner that we believe balances out our accounts with others. In the parable, a man experiences undeserved mercy and compassion from one to whom he owes a significant amount, a significant debt. And instead of shaping and defining his dealings with others by the mercy he has undeservedly received, he immediately turns around to one who owes him a much smaller debt and demands the account to be paid and the debt settled. In the story, upon hearing what he has done, his master, who had extended him mercy, now calls him to account and hands him over for punishment. The man is in bondage to his own greed, his misguided sense of justice. He who had been set free for life chose the way that leads to bondage and torture. He chose not to forgive. And sadly, so many people today do the same. In relating this story, Jesus holds up a mirror to us, for each of us to see our tendency to withhold the very mercy and forgiveness that we have received. For Jesus, the only righteous judge, says from the cross, "Forgive them." But we, from our positions of self-righteousness, cry out, "Pay me what you owe me." What a tragedy that we forget or forfeit the gift of freedom because we are unable to allow the spirit of love to form us into a people who practice the abundant economy of forgiveness rather than the bankrupt market of vengeance, getting even and settling the score. Forgiveness is not easy. I'm not standing up here to tell you and pretend that I think it's easy. It's not easy. It is difficult. It may take months, years, countless tears and endless prayers to say, "I forgive you," to someone. But Jesus was clear. Grace is costly, and forgiveness involves the way of the cross. True life is found only on the other side of Golgotha, where Christ was crucified. Through Jesus' teachings, we learn that forgiveness is a practice. It's a discipline made possible by the grace of God, not some heroic act of our will. It is something that we need to practice again and again on a daily basis until it becomes a part of who we are. There are a few lessons we need to remember as we practice forgiving others. First, forgiveness is not forgetting. We cannot forgive that which is forgotten. Forgiveness involves telling each other the painful truth, not to hold something over the other person, but to find a way forward that breaks the cycle of an eye for an eye violence in which we so often find ourselves trapped. Another lesson we need to learn is forgiveness is not about becoming a doormat and relishing the role of victim. Forgiveness is about being victorious, freed from the horrible things others might have done to us. And likewise, forgiveness is not a strategy for turning our enemies into our friends. It is instead a grateful response to what God has done for us. We forgive others as a way of saying thank you to God, who in Christ has graciously forgiven us. And practicing forgiveness does not deny the possibility or the necessity of justice. Rather, it redefines justice and ensures that it is God's special brand of justice that we are practicing, and not the retribution and retaliation that often masquerades as justice. In calling us to forgive, Jesus offers us a different kind of justice that holds open the possibility of a new future, a way through the hurt and the pain that can lead to resurrection and new life. Forgiveness is about having our lives defined by the justice of God's kingdom rather than the justice of the kingdom of this world. This type of forgiveness was on display in an unexpected place 10 days ago, a courtroom in Dallas, Texas, where white former police officer Amber Geiger was convicted and sentenced to serve time in prison for killing a black neighbor, Botham Jean, in his own apartment last year, which she testified she mistook as her own. As part of the sentencing process, loved ones of the victim had an opportunity to provide an impact statement telling the court how the crime had affected their lives. The younger brother of the victim, 18-year-old Brant Jean, addressed the convicted killer and told her that his brother would have wanted her to turn her life around and turn it over to Christ, and that if she asked God for forgiveness, she would get it. And then he said, "I love you as a person. I don't wish anything bad on you. If you truly are sorry, I know I can speak for myself. I forgive you." And then he asked the judge, "I don't know if this is possible, but can I give her a hug, please? Please?" After the second please, the judge granted the request, and the brother of the innocent man who was killed and his convicted killer embraced in front of the judge's bench for almost 1 minute. We think 1 minute isn't very long, but if you've seen the video, it seems like an eternity. Not everyone has viewed this mourning brother's words and actions positively. In fact, his mother has stated in interviews that forgiveness does not remove responsibility, and she was not ready to forgive. NBC News commentator Harry Smith produced a video on this dramatic encounter for the Today Show. He said, "Brant Jean's actions were the definition of grace, loving your enemy." Smith then went on to remind viewers of other public acts of forgiveness displayed in recent years. The Amish of eastern Pennsylvania forgave the man who walked into an elementary school shooting 10 girls, killing 5 of them. The adults attended the funeral of the shooter and vowed to help his widow. Sikhs in Wisconsin, after a white supremacist entered their temple killing 6 and injuring 4, their public message was not of hate, but of forgiveness and peace. The faithful of the Emmanuel AME Church in Charleston, South Carolina, found love enough in their hearts to forgive the young man who killed 9 of their members. In the aftermath of that event, members of the congregation were interviewed and one stated, and I quote, "Forgiveness is like you're letting somebody off the hook, but you're actually letting yourself off the hook. Because if you keep it, there's no healing with hatred. You have to love each other. That is our second commandment," end quote. Another member said, quote, "You always want to forgive. That's what we are taught. Sometimes I feel like I teeter-totter, but then I know what is the right thing to do. It is to forgive. That's what we've taught our girls. I don't teach them to hate," end quote. And commentator Harry Smith continued, "The act of forgiveness is an emotional transaction. Hatred and anger are burdensome companions. Forgiveness can free us of those feelings, but it's an act that requires no small amount of courage and faith." Our everyday existence is filled with actions that many would label unforgivable. But as disciples of Jesus, it is important to ask ourselves, how does one follow Jesus and practice forgiveness in such times as we are living in? And I have to be perfectly honest and say that I'm not entirely certain how to answer that question, except to say that perhaps Jesus knew that there would be times as these. One day on a hill by a lake, he gathered his disciples and told them to pray like this, "Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who have sinned against us." Perhaps that is where we begin. With all the hurt and pain, shame, guilt, anger, and betrayal, and opening ourselves up to God. And then we can perhaps look at how others handled such difficult challenges and parallel scenarios and find strength and guidance from them. In today's scripture, when Peter asks how many times he must forgive a person, Jesus upped the ante from the usually thought to be generous 7 times. And Jesus expanded the arithmetic of forgiveness. The forgiveness he describes, the forgiveness that characterizes God's kingdom, is beyond calculation and comprehension. Forgiveness of this magnitude finds its basis not only in our own sense of need, but even more sure and certain in the character of God himself as a fundamentally forgiving God. The Apostle Paul writes, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you." Frederick Luskin, co-founder of Stanford University's Forgiveness Project, says that forgiveness, quote, "reduces anger, hurt, depression, and stress, and leads to great feelings of optimism, hope, compassion, and self-confidence," end quote. He has conducted numerous workshops in a wide variety of people in corporate, medical, and legal and religious settings. In his book, he explains that what Jesus taught, that in forgiving we can become heroes instead of victims in the stories that we tell. So as we live in these challenging times, as we learn of tragic events near and far, when many seek vengeance, may we hear and heed the words of our Savior and practice the discipline of forgiveness. Let's pray together. Lord, how many times we have felt hurt, betrayed, angered, and wanted at first to seek revenge, to measure out vengeance. Lord, we know that that is not what you have called us to do. That is not what you want us to be living. Lord, you call us to be forgiving people. For some, it seems like, well, that's backing down, and that's not being standing up. But as one of those survivors said, it takes more courage to forgive than to hold hatred in one's heart. So today, Lord, we pray that our hearts may be open, that you will point out to us those persons and situations that we need to address, where we need to seek forgiveness and grant forgiveness. Lord, we pray for that freeing of our spirits that may be being held in bondage right now. Lord, we just pray that your Spirit will be working in us and among us, that we may be more loving and more caring and more forgiving. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.